Good morning. Let's take a quick look at our bulletins before we dive into our song service. As we look at our bulletins, we have a few things going on this week. I neglected to put in this afternoon. We are going to Park Ridge Manor, and we leave the church at 2:30, and we get there around 3 o'clock or so. It's always a blessing if you have a free Sunday afternoon. We'll have our service tonight at 6 o'clock, ladies' Bible study on Tuesday, and our prayer meeting on Wednesday. Is it Ladies Guild? Okay, it is the Ladies Guild on Tuesday at 7 p.m. So keep those things in mind. As we look forward to next Sunday, we'll be having some missionary guests with us, and the Derek Black family will be here all day, and they're planning on going to Alaska, and so be sure to come and fellowship with them. As we look forward to next Sunday night, it is a fifth Sunday, and we'll be having a fifth Sunday fellowship afterwards, so be thinking of some food and drink that you can share with the rest of us. Keep those things in mind. You notice on the back table, we have a bunch of empty baby bottles. And the purpose of those baby bottles is for you to take one, and you can fill it up with various types of money, whether you want to put your change in there or a paper, whether it's a check or some cash. And that's to help support the Alpha Women's Center. And you notice inside your bulletin, you have an insert. And Alpha Women's Center really is focusing on a Christ-centered approach as far as counseling. Women, encouraging them as far as options, definitely steering them away from abortion, and encouraging them toward keeping that child, and sharing with them the gospel. And so keep those things in mind. Grab one of those baby bottles, and we'll be hoping to have all those returned by Sunday, February 13th. It's a great way we can help support them in their ministry. You notice here we have our annual election results. We had our annual business meeting this past Wednesday. And you notice our deacons are Bob Adamson, Dan Lamgo, and Dave Wilcox. Our church clerk is Amy Kramer. Assistant church clerk is Kim Lamgo. Church treasurer is Cassie Wilcox. And our assistant church treasurer is Melinda Plum. We've been doing some things with our Sunday school, and I do hope that you're praying for our Sunday school, as well as our children's church. But you notice an announcement there concerning Sunday school. It says, "Do you hear a beeping?" And at the beginning of the Sunday school, you will hear a long beep that will tell you it's time for Sunday school to begin. And then you'll hear that beep again whenever we have 5 minutes left of Sunday school. And then there's a final beep at 1:45 whenever it's time to wrap up. And then as we think of the little children in Sunday school, all children third grade and below will be held in their classrooms until a parent or older sibling picks them up. And be praying for our Sunday school as we desire for many more to come and be encouraged in the Word so that we can be growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, for your many blessings. Thank you that you are a loving God and a holy God, that you have shown yourself to us in your Word. And I do thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, who is the perfect revelation of you. I do thank you that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day. Thank you for the promise that whoever believes in Jesus Christ has eternal life. Their sins are washed white as snow. They have a hope that nothing can take away. And so I do pray, even as we trust in Jesus Christ, that we'd have a desire to live for him. Even as we sing the song, "I'll live for him who died for me." I do pray that that would be our united desire as a church, that we'd be wanting to serve you with our lives. I do thank you that we can pray to you as a church. And I do know that there are several that are struggling with their health. There's flu going around and colds and all of those things. I do pray that you would help in each specific instance there, that you would comfort and that you would give encouragement, and that each one would look to you during difficult times. I even do pray for Kay Hummel. She'll be having surgery this coming Tuesday. I do pray that you would guide the doctor's hands there and that everything would go well. Pray that that would glorify you in a great way. And so many other things that we can pray for. But I do thank you that you are always there for us. Thank you that you are sovereign, that you are in control. So even as we sing songs of praise to you, as we look into your word, I pray that all of these things would be giving glory to your name. I do pray that you'd help us as we strive to live for you. I pray that you'd give us that ability to live triumphant lives for you. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Remember, as we praise our Lord and Savior, the time we are able to come together and praise Him as a corporate body, as a church, as a local church, is a time not only where we get to praise Him, obviously, but it's also a time of checking our own hearts, because when we come and praise Him together like this, it is should be a wellspring of the praise, of the worship we have already given to Him, not just in our singing, but in every action we have done throughout the entire week. So I trust that that is true of you already this week and this morning. So let's stand together and start with number 2 in your psalm books. Number 2, "Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart."
Our scripture reading this morning is in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. Ephesians chapter 4, and verses 17 through 32. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you."
Take those sheets out of the front of your hymnal. You should find one there. "Before the Throne of God Above." Songbooks, the 372, Living for Jesus. As we just sang before the throne, it is very clear that He has purchased us with His blood, and now that we are His, we ought to live for Him. So let's sing 372. thou was holy to Jesus Christ. Let's turn then to 441. Part of that is taking time to be holy. And so let's sing 441, Take Time to Be Holy. Ourselves in Jesus Christ and who we ought to be in Jesus Christ. At this time, let's take our morning offering as part of our worship and let's pray for that. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ. Lord, your word says that in him we live and move and have our being. And so, Lord, I pray that we would all the more today, knowing our sinfulness, would see the great benefit, Father, of casting that aside, of striving once again this week to all the more follow you, Father, to find ourselves in fellowship and in deep, Father, fellowship with you every single day of this week, to come to you when we have sinned, to forgive, to find forgiveness in your Son, Jesus Christ, and to live again under the glow, as it is said in the song, of your smile. Lord, I pray that we would have come this week prepared to give to you, Father, to demonstrate that everything we have is yours. Father, to worship you even with our possessions, as we are with our time by being here this morning. And so, Lord, I pray that this would be a blessed time, not, Lord, so that we can fill the coffers of this church, but that it would be blessed, Father, as we demonstrate again your worth to us, by giving back what you, in your abundance, have allowed us to steward. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. we've sung already. The final question then is, will we decide to follow Jesus? So as we close with our song service today, let's turn to 376. I have decided to follow Jesus. As you turn there, let's stand. Let's sing. Stand. It's 1, 2, and 3. 1, 2, and 3 of 376. Be seated.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my
Father, we thank you for that. perfect salvation that we have through Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died for us. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die. What wondrous love is that wonderful gift of Jesus upon the cross for us. And so I do pray that we live in light of that fact, that Jesus Christ has died for us, that He has bought us, and we are now His if we have trusted in Him. So I do pray, even as we look into Your Word, I do pray that You would give us soft hearts, that we'd be challenged and encouraged, that we'd be ever more committed to living for You. So we do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The children may go downstairs for children's church. Are you rejoicing this morning? Are you rejoicing? I know during this time of year it can be kind of easy to get down in the dumps, can it? Because it's cold outside and there's all the snow and you know, it can just get kind of depressing sometimes during this time of year. And it depends on whether you view the glass as half empty or half full. Because I look at it and I think, well, winter's almost over now. You know, once we get through February, you know, it's going to start getting warmer. But you can be a pessimist too and say, well, winter has just begun. You know, the last part of December, you know, winter began. And so we still have how many months yet of winter? And so you can look at it either way. But, you know, it can get rather depressing during this time of year because it's so cold and you want to go outside. You may want to do things. But yet, you don't want to. And so it can be easy during this time of year to become kind of down in the dumps, to feel sorry for ourselves. But yet we must fight against that tendency to be gloomy, to be sad, to be depressed. Because if we have the right perspective on life, then it shouldn't matter what the weather is like. It shouldn't matter what is going on in our lives. We should have the joy of the Lord because nothing can take that away. Right. We have a firm foundation in the Word of God. If Jesus is our Savior, we have a hope and a joy. We have something that nothing ever can take away. Amen. And so even though this world around us, it may be less than friendly, even though things may not be going our ways, we have to look on the bright side. We must count our blessings. And whenever I say that, it's not as if I'm just asking you to have this pie-in-the-sky mentality, just to be happy-go-lucky, to have a positive attitude just because it's good to have a positive attitude. No, I'm not saying that. We have to rejoice, not just because I am imposing that upon myself. No, we rejoice because we have our hope in the Lord.
Amen.
That's why we have to be rejoicing. And it's not that we have to be. That's a natural result of being filled with the Spirit. There's so many encouraging passages of Scriptures, and I want you to look at one with me this morning by way of introduction. Romans chapter 6, in verses 17 through 19. It's so easy for us to get kind of down in the dumps and gloomy and feeling sorry for ourselves, especially during these winter months. But let us look at Romans chapter 6, in verses 17 through 19. We have so much to be thankful for, so much to thank God for and to rejoice in. We read in verse 17 of Romans chapter 6, "But God be thanked that though you are slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness." Are you thanking God this morning? Are you praising Him? And are you thanking and praising Him for the right reasons? Are you grateful for the change that He has made in your life? If you have trusted in Jesus Christ, you are a new creation. You are totally different. Because whereas in time past, what were you? You were a slave of sin. You served sin. You served your master, the devil. That's where you were at whenever you were lost apart from Christ. But whenever you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, everything changed. You are now a slave of righteousness. You served the true and the living God. Are you thankful for that? What a privilege it is. What a responsibility it is to be a slave of righteousness, to serve the true and the living God. So if we keep these things in mind, if we have that right frame of mind, we have so much to be thankful for. And it doesn't matter if it's 20 below outside and the wind's blowing. That shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter if we're sick in bed. It shouldn't matter even if we are at death's door. If Jesus Christ is our Savior, we have a certainty, we have a hope and a joy that nothing in this world can take away from us. We have a reason for living, and that reason for living is to praise our living Savior, to give Him the glory, to give Him our all. And so I hope our purpose this morning, our goal in life, is to fulfill that heavenly calling to live for Him who died for me. Is that your ever-present desire? Is that what motivates us to live for Jesus Christ? That should be our all-encompassing motivation, no matter what's going on around us. That should be our individual commitment. That should be our commitment as a church. It must be our commitment as a church. We must be united in Christ, united in His Word, and the desire to do what God tells us in His Word. That should be our desire as a church. We should be living for God. We need to be loving Him and obeying His Word. Now, the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at the church covenant. And what is the church covenant? It is an agreement that we have made as members of Nordville Baptist Church. This is how we purpose to live for the glory of God. This is how we purpose to live to fulfill our high calling. We've looked at the first three paragraphs of the covenant thus far. And if you want to take a look at it, there should be a copy of that in your hymnals, right by the back flyleaf of your hymnals. We're going to read through the first three paragraphs just by way of reminder and refresher. And this morning, Lord willing, we will finish the remaining two paragraphs as we seek to have a biblical understanding of what the covenant is all about, why we have one, why it says what it does, and to renew our commitment to serve the Lord without any regrets, without anything blocking the way, to serve the Lord fully. And so we read in the church covenant, having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized by single immersion in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we do now in the presence of God, angels, and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ, to walk worthy of the calling wherewith we are called. We purpose, therefore, by the enablement of the Holy Spirit, to forsake the paths of sin and to walk together in Christian holiness and love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to give it a sacred preeminence over all institutions of human origin, to attend its services faithfully, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of its ministry and expenses, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. We also purpose to maintain family and personal devotions, to scripturally educate our children, to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances, to walk vigilantly in the world, to be just in our dealings and faithful in our engagements, to be exemplary in our character, to avoid all gossip, backbiting, excessive anger, sexual immorality, greed and materialism, gluttony and dissension, to abstain from the use of alcoholic beverages, tobacco products, and illegal drugs, to practice self-control in all things, and to be zealous in our efforts to advance the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, giving Him preeminence in all things, both spiritual and temporal, and making the most of the time because the days are evil, looking always to His soon coming. And now we come to the fourth and the final paragraph of the covenant, and it says, we further purpose to walk together in Christian love and watchfulness, giving and receiving admonition with meekness and respect, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian empathy and feeling and courtesy in speech, to be slow to take offense, and always ready to secure reconciliation without delay. We want to focus in on that paragraph right now. And as we look at the first three words of that paragraph, as we have noticed time and time again in the previous paragraphs, how does this paragraph begin? And it says we further purpose. This is our goal. This is what we have set for ourselves to attain. Now let no one think this morning that we here at Nordville Baptist Church think that we are a perfect group of people. Because I know myself I am not perfect, and I know very well that each and one of you are not perfect, because that's not what I say, that's what God says in His Word. If anyone says that he does not sin, he makes God a liar. And so we all struggle with sin. And so let no one think that we, as Nordville Baptist Church, think that we are somehow perfect, that we have somehow attained and reached that mark. Let no one think that we're laying down a law that is impossible for anyone to attain. Let no one think that an individual must be perfect before he or she can join this church. Because that simply is not the case. What are we espousing as a church? What are we agreeing to? We have set for ourselves a high standard. It is a heavenly standard. The goal that we're shooting for is the goal that God Himself has given to us. It is the desire to fulfill the command, "Be ye holy, even as I am holy." God is all holy. There is not an ounce of sin in Him. He is perfectly righteous, perfect, glorious. And God is holy, and we as His children, we must also be holy. That is the goal we have set for ourselves. We purpose to be holy as God is holy. Now, are we ever going to reach that goal while on this earth? And the truth of the matter is, we're never going to reach that goal of perfect holiness while we live in these bodies. But yet, does that mean that we don't strive for holiness? No, we strive for holiness because that is what God has called us to do. All too often in our lives, whether it is as an individual or whether as a group of people, what do? We set our sights too low. We set our standards way too low. We have goals and aspirations and desires that are way too piddly, way too puny. We say, I want to do this little thing here. But yet, God has called us to do great things. Do we have faith to live a victorious life in Jesus Christ? Yes, we realize we're human. We are redeemed sinners. But yet, God Himself dwells within us. God, the Holy Spirit, gives us the power, the ability to live a life of victory over sin. A life of holiness to God. Yes, we are weak. But it is God who uses our weakness to show Himself powerful. And so as a church, we want to set our sights high. We want to have high standards for ourselves. We want to have lofty expectations. We want to do great things for God. Not because we are anything in and of ourselves, but because we serve a great God and it is God who works within us to do His perfect will. We want to be holy as God is holy. We want to sacrifice this world's pleasures, and instead we want to lay up for ourselves heavenly treasures. That is our desire as a church. We want to live out our lives for God. We want to be poured out for our Savior. It is our love for God, our desire to serve Him that impels us and encourages us along these lines. I hope that your soul is burning with a fire this morning, a fire to serve the true and the living God, a fire to forsake the ways of the sinful world and to live for God. I hope that is your desire. I hope that that fire is kindling within you this morning. And so we look at our covenant this morning, and we read in that fourth paragraph, we further purpose to walk together in Christian love and watchfulness. We read in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, what does Paul exhort the Ephesians? "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children." He says, you need to follow the perfect example of God Almighty. Be an imitator of God. And verse 2, "And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." How much does God love us? How much does God's Son, Jesus Christ, love us? Jesus Christ loved us so much that He died on the cross for us. And we are to follow that perfect example of love. To love as Jesus Christ has loved us. That is how we want to be living our lives. That's how we want to walk in love. We go back in Ephesians to chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now we recognize, sometimes it's not easy to get along, is it? All of us have grown up in a family, and we realize it's not easy to always get along with our siblings. We're not always easy to get along with our parents. Whenever you live in close proximity with one another, you're bound to have fights and spats and disagreements. Well, it's true in the workplace as well, isn't it? And it's true in this church. Whenever we work closely together, there are bound to be times when we have disagreements. There are bound to be times when we kind of annoy one another. Because you know what? I have my own little quirks, my own little annoyances, and perhaps you don't know all of them because you haven't been around me enough. But I'll tell you, I have my own quirks. If you would ask my sister Amy, she would say, yes, he has his quirks. Now, she may not admit that, or she may not tell you specifics, but she would say, yes, the pastor has some quirks. I grew up with them. So all of us have our quirks. All of us have our individual personalities. Some of us are introverts. Some of us are extroverts. Some of us have a sense of humor, and it's a good sense of humor. We laugh at your jokes. Other people have kind of a dry sense of humor, we laugh just because it's nice. We want to be polite, and even though we don't really think it's all that funny. You know, we each have our quirks, our own personalities. Some of us are full of energy, and others seem to be a little bit more lethargic, a little bit more slow-going. So we all have our quirks, our differences, our personalities, you know, all of those things. But in addition to all of these things, we have something in common. And you know what that is? We all have a fallen sin nature. And so whenever we get a group of people together, even though we're saved, we all have our fallen natures. We all struggle with sin. And whenever we get a group of people like that together, there are bound to be times whenever we annoy one another, whenever we have a little bit of a spat or disagreement. So what must we do? As a group of believers, as Nordville Baptist Church, we must walk together in Christian love, even bearing with one another in love. Okay, we put up with one another, okay, because we love one another. We don't just blow up and say, I can't handle it anymore, and just leave. No, we don't want to do that. We want to bear with one another in love. And sometimes it's all that we can do just to put up with someone or to put up with something that someone else has done. But by God's grace, we will seek to love one another even as God has loved us. We will purpose to be gracious, to be compassionate, to forgive, and to be forgiven. That is what we purpose. We purpose to walk together in Christian love, to be united in love. But not only that, we also want to be united in our watchfulness. All of us struggle with sin. Okay, I hope that we have trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior. But yet, we still struggle with sin. We struggle with the hardships of life. We struggle with ever-present temptation. And so we must walk together in watchfulness. We must be alert for the pitfalls of sin. We must be aware of temptation. What did the Lord Jesus tell Peter, James, and John when he was in the garden? He said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. And sadly, what happened to Peter, James, and John? They fell asleep, didn't they? We must endeavor as Nordville Baptist Church to keep one another awake. And I'm not just talking about the worship service where some of you may be dozing off right now. And I'm sure some of you give one another a little bit of a nudge if you're dozing off. Hey, that's a good thing. But that's not what I'm primarily focusing on here. We must keep one another spiritually alert and awake. We must watch out for one another. We must elbow our brother or our sister whenever we see a spiritual pitfall. Whenever someone is going toward a path or going down a path that he or she should not. So how do we walk together in love and watchfulness? And an integral part of that, as we continue on in our church covenant, is by giving and receiving admonition with meekness and respect. We go to Romans chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. What does it mean to admonish someone? It really means to give them godly counsel. To counsel them, you need to avoid this behavior, or you need to stop doing this sinful behavior. I admonish you, I exhort you, I encourage you along these lines. We must admonish one another. Now, can anyone admonish anyone? Can anyone do that, admonishing? And I think anyone can try to admonish, but there are certain things that must be true in a person's life in order for them to successfully admonish. In order to be successful in your admonishment, you must have a certain knowledge, a knowledge of God's Word. You must have the mind of Christ. You must know what is right and what is wrong so that you can admonish your brother or sister, so you can counsel them concerning these things that are wrong that you must stay away from, and these things that you must stop doing, and things that, yes, you should be doing. Admonishment. You must have the character of Christ. We must have the fullness of His love and His compassion, His goodness and His humility. Paul tells the Roman believers, I am confident in you because you are full of goodness. You are full of knowledge. You are able to admonish one another. We read in Colossians chapter 3 in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. If the Word of God dwells within us, if we have absorbed it, if we have taken the Word of God and made it a part of us, then we are able to admonish one another as we should. It is our privilege, it is our responsibility to admonish those that we love, those that are close to us, those that are in our spiritual family. Paul tells the Thessalonians, you need to keep an eye on one another. And we read even in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. And so if one of our assembly is doing something sinful, outright disobedience to the Lord and rebelling against him, it is our privilege and our responsibility to admonish that one and say, you really need to stop doing that because that displeases the Lord. You're disobeying God's word. We must admonish one another as brothers and sisters. How else do we walk together in Christian love and watchfulness? By remembering one another in prayer. And time again, we have stressed the absolute importance of prayer in our lives as believers. The Bible tells us time and time again, in order to be spiritual, we need to be praying. In order to maintain that spirituality, we must be in prayer. Just as Jesus told Peter, James, and John, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. We read in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, just after he got done with the armor of the believer, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so we pray for one another in all areas of life, whether it be physical areas or financial areas, family areas, spiritual matters. But really, the most important thing is that we pray for our spiritual needs. To pray for Dwayne and for Mona and Dave and Stan and Bill, and we can go on and on. We must pray for one another that we'd be growing spiritually, that we'd be in the Word, that we'd be knowing more and more who Christ is and what He desires of us, and that we would stay away from those pitfalls of sin. If we're growing spiritually, then we're better equipped to face whatever comes along our way. Because we're living for the Lord. We're walking with Him. We must pray for one another. We come to Colossians chapter 2 and verses 2 through 4. We must be watchful in our prayers. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. We must pray for one another. Yes, for our spiritual needs. And right along with that, be praying for one another that God would open to us doors so that we might share the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has called us to share His good news with the lost world. Are we praying for one another that God would open those doors so that we have a clear opportunity to share the gospel with those who are lost? We must pray for one another. We must make that our priority, that we would have the heart of Christ when it comes to the lost. Are we praying for one another? The end is coming near. We don't know when the Lord will come. It could be before the service is over. Are we living in light of that fact? Peter tells his readers in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers." We know times are getting rough. We know that every day that goes by, it's a day closer to when the Lord Jesus Christ will come back for His church. And with this in mind, knowing that the days are coming to a close, that we need to be all the more serious about prayer. Paul tells us in Romans 12, verses 10 through 13, "And be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." So a lot of things here Paul is saying to the Roman believers, these things should be characteristic of your life. This is how you should be behaving as a born-again believer. These are things that you should work toward. And we see here, yes, steadfast prayer, but also the exercise of brotherly love. And the outworking of that love as you are hospitable, as you care for one another's needs. Our faith must not just be a faith of words or thoughts. Our faith must be a faith that is characterized by action. Faith and action go hand in hand. We must go out of our way whenever we see a brother or sister in need. We read in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also." We must look out for one another and help one another with our physical needs. We come to James chapter 2, verses 15 through 18. "If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needful for the body, what does it profit?" Okay, so we see one of our brethren out there, and he doesn't have clothes to keep himself warm. He's hungry, he doesn't have food to fill his stomach with. And we say, "Well, be warmed and be filled, my brother." And we don't give him anything to help him with his need. What good is that going to do? "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' True faith will demonstrate itself by the works that we do." We come to chapter 1 and verse 27 of James. We go back a little bit. "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." We must care for one another. We are a family. And we must be responsible, brothers and sisters, and care for one another, providing for others' needs, being there for them when they're going through those tough times. Yes, we must cultivate empathy in our feeling and courtesy in our speech. That goes right along with being brothers and sisters in the same family. We read words of wisdom in Proverbs. We read in 15 and verse 23, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Do you realize how much of a blessing you can be by the words that you speak? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. We must build one another by the words that we speak. Our words can tear down or they can build up. We must purpose to build up one another with the words that we say. We must be slow to take offense. We must always be ready to secure reconciliation without delay. And so whenever we work with one another, whenever we serve together as Nordville Baptist Church, yes, there will be times when a word will slip, and it's a word that we should not have spoken. There will be times when a hurtful deed is done. How do we respond to that? Well, if we are the one that has done that, we must ask for forgiveness. We must say, I shouldn't have done that. Will you forgive me? But as we look at ourselves and what others do to us, we can't control what other people do to us, but we can control how we respond. How are we going to respond whenever someone lets that hurtful word slip? Whenever someone does something against you that wasn't all that nice? We can control how we respond. And once again, we go to the book of Proverbs in chapter 10 and verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. In 17 verse 9, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friend. And so as we bear with one another in love, really what do we need to do? We need to sometimes overlook those offensive words, those offensive actions. Perhaps they just let it slip and they didn't mean to say something, or perhaps they really did mean to kind of throw a barb in your flesh. But we must not choose the low road. We must not choose to respond in like manner. We must choose the high road. We don't treat others wrongly in return for their foolish behavior. No, we must be slow to be offended. We must be quick to secure reconciliation. We don't want there to be divisions. We want there to be unity. We don't want there to be strife and bitterness. We don't want misunderstanding or hurt feelings to go on and on. And so if there is something that separates that fellowship between brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't want that to go on indefinitely. We want that fellowship to be restored. And Paul tells us in Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. That's how we must treat one another. If someone has wronged us and there has been a breach in the fellowship, we must go to that person and seek to restore the fellowship. If someone has wronged us and they come to us and ask for forgiveness, we must say, yes, I forgive you. We must purpose together to live and to think and to do these things. And as we come to that final paragraph of the covenant, as we briefly look at this, we moreover purpose that when we remove from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's Word. In the event there is no such church, we will seek with the Lord's help to establish one. It is so essential for us as believers in Christ to have that fellowship with one another so that we can encourage and admonish one another, so that we can grow together into the image of Jesus Christ, God's Son. It is God's will that we become sanctified through mutual support, through mutual encouragement, through mutual instruction and admonishment. And so no matter where we're at, whether we are worshiping here at Nordville Baptist Church or whether we're on the other side of the world, in China, it is essential for us to gather together with like-minded believers, to be in a church where we can worship God in spirit and truth, give glory to God by serving Him. And so if we should move from this place, we purpose to find another Bible-believing church where we can be an integral part, serving and being served, worshiping the Lord together. And if there is no other church like that, we purpose with the Lord's blessing to establish one. That is God's desire. So So we've been challenged and encouraged this morning. We have been challenged to stand united for Jesus Christ. That is our desire. That is our purpose here at Nordville Baptist Church. And may God strengthen us as we press toward that goal. May God strengthen us to keep pressing on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us. Heavenly Father, we do pray that even as we have purposed together as a church to live in such a way that pleases you, I pray that you would enable us through the Holy Spirit. Help us to forsake the paths of sin. Help us to pursue holiness. Help us to encourage one another, even admonishing one another. I do pray this would all be to your glory and honor. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's close with 371. 371, and let's stand as we sing, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." Loving you and serving you, and in all ways giving ourselves and our